All right, you see 2 Peter chapter 2 and verses 4 through verse 8. It has to do with God's dealings of apostates in both of the texts that we will read. Verse 4, if God spared not the angels that sin, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved under judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah the eighth, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that should after live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Now, what was the sin of Sodom exactly? Book of Jude, verses 5 through verse 7. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not, and the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains unto darkness, unto the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Now look at verse 7 again, if you would. Giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh. I thought instead of speaking on the health bill that I would speak on this subject of the evening. Now, perhaps the question ought to be modified a bit that stood at the head. That instead of will God judge America for their friendliness unto homosexuality, we might put it, is God judging America for their view? Has God begun already some degree of punishment? To our many sins, there has been added another. That is a toleration and acceptance and protection of homosexuality by laws that have been passed favoring this which is condemned in the Word of God. Now, would you raise the question, why would we suspect that God would, or that God might, or that God would send judgment where this sin is practiced and where it is prevalent and where it is protected? Why would a thought like that be entertained in the mind of many? Well, it is because of what we find in the Scripture concerning the great destruction of Sodom and of Gomorrah and the cities round about them because of this sin. There are several other passages as well, some which we will read, which condemn the sin that is called sodomy in the Old Testament. In no uncertain term, the Bible condemns this sin in every place. And both of our texts that we have read mention that the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah serves as an example to those that would afterward live ungodly. Very clearly, the writer said, these are set forth for an example. Then there's a very important question to be raised here in the very beginning, which is, by what standard or by what measure are we to judge the merit or the demerit of homosexuality. How shall we decide the issue, whether it is right or what is wrong? What kind of evidence may we bring forth that is credible in one way or the other? Shall we hear the experts in quotation mark, the militant homosexual activists, shall we listen to them tell us about it? Shall we get our information from the psychologist? Or shall we let the politicians decide and tell us? The filthy swines, what I call them, the liberal media. How about Hollywood? We let Hollywood define the issue. How about the apostate clergy? How about the latest poll that we might read about in our country? How about the evening news and the way that this thing is displayed in all of these places? And I would answer all of that by saying that for the Christian, there is only one factor in deciding the question. All controversies about it are settled by one factor, and that is, what saith the Scripture, the Word of God? What does the Bible have to say? Let God be true and every man a liar. What is written in the Scripture? Because, after all, we accept the Scripture as the inspired, the infallible Word of our God. They are our guide of rule and of faith and of practice. For what is wrong and what is right is laid out for us very clearly in the Scripture. What is an abomination in the sight of God is told us in the Scripture. What He hates and what He will punish and what He will judge is very clearly set back out in the Scripture. So let's begin like this. Let's go back to the creation of the human species when God created mankind. When He did, God created one man and God created one woman. Adam and Eve were their name, and He gave them the command that they were to multiply and replenish the earth. These became the first couple. They became man and wife. They were one flesh, Genesis chapter 2 and verse 24. When Moses had finished telling of the creation of the woman in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18 through 23, he then draws a conclusion and he makes an application, and it's found in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 24. He said, therefore, that is, on this account, for this reason, seeing that this is so, a man shall leave his parents, his father and his mother, and he shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Now, this is quoted also for us in the New Testament. Therefore, concerning the conjugal union as seen as a model in the first creation of man and of woman, here's some things that are true. Number one, man need not be bound to celibacy. This is not the way that God would bind the man. For God said, Genesis 2:18, it is not good that man should be alone. I therefore will make for him an helpmeet. That is, one that is suitable to him, one that's suitable to his condition, one like he needs, and one like or of his species. Secondly, the union was not to be polygamous. As Adam was not bound to celibacy, neither was it to be polygamous. For God created one and only one of each. He did not make multiple wives for Adam, but one woman or one wife for the one man. And then thirdly, the union was not to be homosexual, but heterosexual, for God made two genders, male and female, created He them, Genesis 1 and verse 27. Now the word homosexual refers to two of the same sex or gender. homo, the same kind, equal, or the same. And the word hetero, heterosexual, refers to an attraction unto the opposite gender. For hetero means a different kind, another, other, a different sex or gender from the original. Thus, the natural order, the natural inclination was heterosexual from the beginning. The opposite genders, male and female, forming one flesh union called marriage for the propagation of the race and to be a type of Christ and His blessed bride. How in the world could a homosexual union ever do either one of these things? A homosexual union can in no way produce a child. And for that reason, homosexuality is a monstrous perversion according to the Word of God. It is a corruption of the original or of the natural order. It is an affront to the holy and righteous God who designed it. And it is an attack upon the infallible Word of God. None can take up for or maintain homosexuality without setting aside the authority of the Word of God. But now let us move to what I call the second phase of our study, where in this part we ask ourselves the question, what is the general teaching of the Scripture concerning homosexuality? Here we should notice, again, that the Old Testament name for it was that of sodomy, or they were called sodomites. It's the Old Testament name from the prevalence of the sin in the city of Sodom. And they became to be known as sodomites and their sin as sodomy. The most famous account of this sin that we have in the Old Testament is likely that one in Genesis chapter 19. In a city called Sodom, some would say it today, there was a large homosexual population there. Or, as we hear on the evening news, there was a large, quote, gay community, unquote, there. Gay pride ran high, and they were out of the closet and publicly in the open. And Jude verse 7 that we read describes them this way, get it again, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh. We'll come back to that in a bit. When Abraham and Lot parted company, Lot, you remember, pitched his tent towards Sodom. Genesis 13 and verse 12. And in verse 13 we read, the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Again in Genesis 18 and verse 20, the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great because their sin is grievous. God would destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, but first He delivered Lot and his family. And the ugliness and the degradation of the sodomites is seen when the two angels of God in the form and appearance of men appear to Lot in the city of Sodom in the evening. They have come near to deliver Lot before the city is destroyed. And in Genesis 19, verses 4 and 5, let's see how tolerant and how nice they are. The sodomites converge on the resident of Lot, about to tear his door down, and requested that the guest that Lot had brought into his house, these two men, be brought out, and listen, quote, that we might know them, unquote. You've got to get that. Not that they might meet them. Not that they want to shake and howdy and say, we're glad to have you visiting our fair city. It was not that they wanted to make their acquaintance, because the expression here and so many other places to know is a euphemism that is used in the Bible for sexual copulation. as when Adam knew his wife and she conceived, Genesis 4 and verse 1. But they are open about it in Sodom, about their intention. Gill wrote on Genesis 19 and verse 5, they were open, they were impudent, they declared their sin without shame and blushing, unquote. They burned with unnatural desire toward the men that had come into the house of Lot. The prophet Isaiah, when he would rebuke the sin of Israel and show the impudence of their sin, he said in Isaiah 3 and verse 9, they declare their sin as Sodom and hide it not, unquote. Not that their sin was sodomy in Isaiah, but they were in open defiance of God, just as Sodom was, as seen in their countenance and seen in the way that they carried themselves in that particular day. Now back to Genesis 19, and the men of the city, the pederasts of that city, marched on Lot's house, and they declared their intention openly and loudly, and that in the street. As we see in our day, so-called gay pride marches in the streets of American cities declaring their sin, as did Sodom, and with corrupt politicians marching arm in arm through the streets of American cities. Now you understand that under the Mosaic law, under the ceremonial law of God, homosexuality was among that list of sexual sins that were called confusion and abomination. You have it in Leviticus 18. In Leviticus chapter 18, such things are condemned as incest, adultery, bestiality, homosexuality, which God said defile the land. Not that these things were not practiced, for God said these are the things that are practiced by the people in the land that I'm going to drive out to give you the land. They were actual sins practiced by the heathen. We read in Leviticus 18 and verse 22, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination. Again, in Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 3, much the same thing. If a man also lie with mankind as he lies with a woman, both of them have committed abomination, they shall surely be put to death, their blood shall be upon them, unquote. Now the strongest passage in the New Testament against homosexuality is that one from Paul in Romans chapter 1, where he says in verse 26 and verse 27, where both women and men perverted the natural into that which is against nature. They have perverted the natural to the unnatural, the natural into that which is against nature. And notice how he describes it. Burned with unnatural lust one toward another. Paul called it unseemly in Romans 1 and verse 27. Unseemly means what is shameful, what is indecent. It is something that is indecent. It is the shameful thing as opposed to that which is decent and graceful. Unseemly, therefore, in our King James, Romans 1:27, is a little bit too weak of a translation of the Greek word. Working out shame or indecency. John Murray wrote on the passage in Romans 1 and verse 27, quote, the offense of homosexuality is the result of the abandonment of the divinely constituted order in reference unto this, unquote. Go back to the Old Testament again for more scriptures such as Deuteronomy chapter 23 and verse 17. There shall be no whore of the daughters of Israel, nor a sodomite of the sons of Israel. 1 Kings chapter 14 verse 24. there were Sodomites in the land. And they did according to all the abomination of the nations which the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. 1 Kings 15 and verse 12. When Asa became and was king over Judah, the Bible said that he took away the Sodomites out of the land and removed all of the idols which their fathers had made. In 1 Kings 22 and verse 46, Jehoshaphat, the son of Asa, came to be king in Judah. He instituted some reforms in the land, including evicting the Sodomites out of the land again. 2 Kings 23. Now, Josiah is king of Judah, and he sets more reforms in place, beginning in the second verse. He began by reading the book of the covenant of the law, which had been lost and stored somewhere away, containing the ordinances of God. And in the third verse, he led the people to make a covenant with God that they would obey the things that were written in that book. And then in verse 4 and 5, he destroyed all the implements of Baal that had been brought into the temple and tore down all the groves where heathen worship was carried on. But we note in verse 7, and he broke down the house of the Sodomites that were nearby the house of the Lord. And these Sodomites had taken up residence in dwelling places even next or hard or in the shadow of the house of the Lord, where they, as Gill put it, quote, prostituted their bodies to each other, committing that unnatural sin one with another, unquote. Matthew Henry weighed in on this particular text, quote, where all manner of lewdness and filthiness was practiced under the pretense of religion in honor of their impure deities, unquote. And do we wonder why was sodomy treated as it was in Israel under the ceremonial law? We've already saw that it defiled the land, Genesis 18:25. Not just the dirt that would form, it defiled the land. It defiled those who practice it. It was pervert and it was corrupt of what God had ordained. It was totally inconsistent with the worship of God, being a thing practiced and loved by heathens and by pagans, not by the people of God. A perversion of the natural order, a thing that God could neither condone nor bless. And in the practice of it, it made a people and a nation subject to the judgment of the holy God. As when we see in Romans chapter 1, of the judgments of God against it, in verse 27 and the last part, receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet, which was due, which was suitable to their conduct and their way of life. And here's the rendering of that particular passage in Romans 1 and verse 27, given in my Marshall's Interlinear Greek English New Testament, verse 27, quote, receiving back in themselves the requital of the error of them which behooved, unquote. And then I got out Barry's Interlinear, and it's like this, quote, and the recompense which was fit for their error in themselves receiving, unquote. Now, what effect might such sins have upon society where they are protected, prevalent, and where they are practicing? And our opening question, has God judged homosexuality and America for their tolerance of it over these years? I want to tell you a little incident. Years ago, on my way to a Bible conference in southern Louisiana by the side of Interstate 10 was the biggest sign you ever saw standing out there in the marshes among the alligator. And in huge letters it said on that sign, AIDS, A-I-D-S, judgment has come. And it was out there where nobody could get to it to deface it or tear it down. So what has America done in light of this sin? Well, there are now several so-called hate crime laws that have been passed in our country to apply to minorities, particularly to blacks and to homosexuals, but these are laws applied almost exclusively to whites, and seldom do you ever hear of a minority charged with a hate crime. What is a hate crime? Well, if you commit a hate crime, you get a stiffer penalty for a crime committed against a protected minority. And as you might expect, hate crime laws are now in the process of being expanded into hate speech laws. We knew that would come, first hate crime and then hate speech, so that it will be a forbidding of being critical of the homosexual lifestyle. It is not enough just to keep quiet and just to stay out of it, just to be silent about it. They want all to affirm, quote, that gay is good, unquote. Here's the aim. Here's the intention. Many would lose their jobs where they work. I guarantee this to be true. If you or they took a strong stand at work against homosexuality, because political correctness rules the day. The political correctness line of propaganda. So that several states have passed laws making it legal for homosexuals to marry. Two homosexuals or two lesbians can marry in some state. Now that's a real oxymoron if you ever heard of one. And homosexuals have been allowed to adopt children in our society. It is impossible, I repeat, for a homosexual union to produce a child. Then we are aware that several openly homosexuals have been elected to political offices in America. Congress, mayors of certain cities have elected lesbians and homosexuals as mayors of that city. Homosexuality. Who likes it? Who's pushing it? Well, homosexuality is being pushed by such as the liberal politicians, the liberal lapdog media, Hollywood, God haters, apostate church and Judas goat preachers, and in large part the liberals have taken control of the educational system and use it more for social engineering than they do for education. They push more diversity than they do education. The kids can't read, they can't do math, and they don't know English, but they know that gay is good, that Christianity is intolerant, that condoms are free, and that Heather has two mommies. They know all of that from learning it in the elementary school. In Genesis chapter 19, from the actions and behavior of the men in Sodom, we see the militancy of their in-your-face attitude of the Sodomites. What did they do? They compassed the house of Lot, and they demanded that his guests be brought out. Verse 4 and verse 5. And when Lot called their actions wicked, when Lot said it was a wicked thing, in verse 7, they became enraged. And in verse 9, they said, "Why, this man judges our lifestyle." They became enraged that Lot would judge them. Who are you to come and sojourn and be a judge among us? Now, brother and sister, oh, how they hate to be told that homosexuality is a sin and a perversion against the Word of God. How they hate to be told that the Bible strictly forbids it and they will gnash their teeth, and they threatened Lot, and they were about to break his door down in verse 9. Do you find it ironic, I do, that those who plead for tolerance are the most intolerant of all people? They have a tactic that they use to silence their critics. If you speak out against homosexuality, if you criticize it, if you oppose homosexuality, they've got a new disease for you. If you criticize it, they call you homophobic. And this is a fatal disease. If you get homophobia, you are in bad shape. And I have to say, I think that I have tested positive for homophobia. But this is a true story I'm going to tell you. In Indianapolis, a family owned a bakery. And the name of that bakery was simply Just Cookies. Just Cookies was the name of their business. And a college girl came in one day to place an order, a rather large order, for some cookies. And it had come to pass that the cookies were to be used in the college for the National Coming Out Day. These cookies were to be used by homosexuals in the National Coming Out Day. If you don't know what that is, that's when homosexuals declare openly that they are homosexual. They tell it to others, celebrate it. They come out, and they come out even politically. Well, the owners of Just Cookies said, "Look, we have a conviction against that. We don't want to do that. We don't want to set this kind of example in front of our little daughters. We just don't want to receive your order." And you know what happened? The girl didn't go to some place and buy them. She made a big stink out of it. Before it was over, the mayor was involved in it and condemned them. And the landlord that owned the property is probably going to cancel their lease and shut down Just Cookies because they did not want to make cookies for homosexuals. Now, I want you to imagine a scenario for that. A pastor goes into a bakery to place an order for a cake. During the conversation, he says, "This cake is for our church's anniversary. We're having an anniversary this next Sunday." The owner says, "Oh, that's interesting. That's nice. What church do you belong to? What's your religious belief?" And the pastor said, "Well, we're Calvinistic. We preach the sovereignty of God. We believe in the 5 points of Calvinism." The bakery owner says, "Oh, wait a minute. I think that's heresy. I think that's right out of the pits of hell. I think that's sent more people to hell than any other doctrine around. Do you think that the mayor would get involved in that? Do you think the news media would cover that story on the news at 6 tonight?" The homosexual community has a couple of slick marketing tactics that we want to look at. Number one, way long ago, they managed to politicalize homosexuality and the AIDS issue. They were successful in making a politicalization out of the issue so that it is now seen through the prism of political correctness. It is not viewed medically as it ought to be, or scientifically. It is viewed through political correctness. Way back, they politicized it. Secondly, by the way, did you know that AIDS was named something else way back? It was GRIDS, gay-related immunodeficiency disease. And political correctness changed it to AIDS. But secondly, they succeeded in giving it the nickname gay. They succeeded in that. We all picked it up. Just about everybody uses that term now. Now, does this mean that they're merry, that they're happy, lively, given the social pleasure? Will God judge homosexuality? That's my question. He did in Sodom. What is not to say that God will rain down fire and brimstone on America? I don't say that at all. That He's likely to rain fire and brimstone down, or that the earth is likely to open up and swallow up a million people. But He hath other arrows in His quiver, my brother, my sister. He has many ways to reveal His wrath, Romans 1:18. Homosexuality destroys the moral fiber of a society. It breaks down the natural order of a family. It contradicts the Word of God. It is an abomination unto God and invites His judgment and ripens for judgment, being an open defiance of Almighty God. Now remember, in closing, this, that the support and the promotion of homosexuality is a way to stab Christianity in the side. This homosexual movement and the great support that it has garnered is a way to stab Christianity in the side, just like Joab smote Abner in the side and killed him. It is a battering ram to use against biblical Christianity. It is an opportunity to rub it in the face of Bible believers, to take away the influence of God's Word, to neutralize biblical morality and say, well, there are no absolute. It is a means for God haters of all types to attack Christianity. Even the wicked who are not homosexuals rally with them, so that the moral standards that were erected by our forefathers can be thrown down, and everyone can do then that which is right in their own eyes. And friend, never forget one way that God judges homosexuality, according to Romans 1, is to give them up to their uncleanness, to lay the reins upon the neck, to let them go, to give them over to a mind not capable any longer of discerning right and wrong and wickedness. And be warned, homosexuals do not want to peacefully exist. They will not quit or be satisfied with equal rights. They want to impose their standards upon society and for society to accept their standards without question. That's the end. And I think you'll see that in the days that are to come. God calls it an abomination. He has judged it severely in the past. And so we have reason to think that He will judge it according to His good sovereign will. Thank you for listening, and may you think about it in the days to come. Stand upon the Bible when it comes to this matter. I don't advise you go to work and get on a stump and start spouting off, because you won't be working there much longer. But your belief, let it be in the Word of God.